to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, and then 1 Peter. So, important verses to have marked up in your Bible, know where they're at. Exodus 34. Many of you are in precepts right now, and you're learning the names of God. This is the name of God. This is the one ultimate name of God. And so, here's the thing. Each of you carry your family history going back for many generations in your body and soul. As another pastor expressed this, each of you come here today, you are affected by a family tree. And you're sitting here today and you're dealing with positive stuff and negative stuff that you have inherited from your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, at least going back that far. So the question today is, what is on your family tree? What did you bring in here this morning in your soul? In addition to the good stuff, every family tree is laden and loaded with generational curses and sin and destructive patterns. And so what legacy of sin and shame and strongholds do you still carry in your family line? Alcoholism, drug abuse, sexual promiscuity, anger, physical, verbal abuse. What legacy of sin has cursed the generations in your family? Today in our Emotionally Healthy Relationships series, we're going to explore how to break the power of generational harm passed down through your family line. Anybody with me on that? Going to draw on a lot of other voices today in today's message because I am not an expert in these matters, but they are. So let us pray. Yahweh, you've chosen to reveal yourself to us as Father. No, we didn't impose fatherhood upon you. You've been Father since without beginning. And you've chosen to reveal fatherhood to us in Christ. Lord, we sit here today for those of us who are indeed surrendered to Jesus and dwelt by the Spirit of God as children of Father God. And yet, Lord, even though we've been born anew into that family, we carry still with us lingering stuff from our other family line that goes back to Adam. So Lord, we're putting ourselves now in a posture of surrender to the absolute sovereignty of Jesus Christ and to the absolute power of the Holy Spirit and to the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, the last thing we need this morning is another message. The last thing we need is another seminar on in relationships. What we come here this morning needing is the power of the Holy Spirit to break generational curses. So Lord, we're claiming that right now, that you would choose to use this next half hour to be a supernatural encounter with the Father God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and all the power of the new covenant to free us, to claim in us the full power of being in a new bloodline in Christ. So would you anoint this unworthy hunk of sinful clay to be a conduit of your power? Would you anoint words typed out on a manuscript to be the words of Jesus Christ to your people? Would you come, Holy Spirit, and heal us by the blood of Christ? So God's people, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he will not force his way into these rooms locked in your soul. Please take a moment now in personal prayer. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do today in your soul. All right, our first passage is from the Old Testament book called Exodus. Exodus tells the grand story of Yahweh God delivering God's people from slavery in Egypt. It becomes the meta-narrative, the overarching story that defines all of our stories because we are now engrafted into Israel. Moses was God's chosen leader, and you know the people kept messing up, and he said, I'm not going to go any further, one more step, unless you show me your glory. That's what you all need to do is Grace Point. Our Bible records that encounter between God and Moses, and in so doing, reveals to all creation the name and the character of God. Exodus 34, 5 and 7. Hides Moses in the rock. That's where we get that song, Cleft in the Rock. The Lord descended in a cloud. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, because that capitalized means Yahweh. It's the unspeakable name. The Lord passed by and proclaimed Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious. Yes, slow to anger, but abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Ah, Lord. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What's that even mean? Our second passage is from the New Testament book. So you got Old Covenant, this is how God acts. New Covenant, it's a new game. Glory. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, 1 Peter 1 through 3, 5, and 17, 19, God reveals under the New Covenant how to break that line, that power of sin and curses that have been passed down through the third and fourth generations. We no longer have to abide by that. That's Old Covenant. We're New Covenant. We get to break that. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. Your spirit isn't bubbling, it's dead. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19, in the middle of some other stuff that's important but not relevant to this message. And if you, if that's true of you, if you're born again, if you're part of God's family, and now you got to call God Father, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile between the first and second comings. Knowing, here's the power, knowing that you were ransomed, brought back, redeemed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. You see the freedom there? How? How is this happening? Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, is that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Don't you just want to just worship right now? Just do that. Just thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank you. So in these passages, we discover, first of all, troubling truth. God has designed humanity that we pass on our sin and our shame and our destructive patterns through family lines. The good news that our new Peter passage reveals is that in Christ, these can be broken. All right, The material we're using is Emotionally Healthy Relationships. It's by this guy, Pastor Pete, and his wife, Jerry Scazzario. Excellent stuff. I'm hoping that you all choose to go through his Hall 3 series after I go, because it's what you need. So he says this: when the Bible uses the word family, it refers to the entire extended family going back at least 3 or 4 generations. So this means that family in the biblical sense includes your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles and your great-grandparents and your great-uncles and your other significant others going back at least to the 1800s. So you're seated today. This is what's in your body and genes. While we are affected by powerful external events and circumstances throughout our entire lives, our families are the most powerfully shaping group to which we will ever belong. And even those who leave home, I'm had enough of that family line, I'm just going to leave, doesn't work because it's in their genes. It just follows them. So they end up repeating the same things even though they weren't nurtured under that. So what happens in one generation often repeats itself in the next. The consequence and actions and decisions taken in one generation affect those that follow. For this reason, we see it. You see it in your family. You see it in Dubuque. We have generational strongholds passed down in Dubuque that only the church could break if it actually stood in the power it has in Christ. So you have divorce and alcoholism and addictive behaviors and sexual abuse and poor marriages and children rebellion and mistrust of authority and pregnancy out of wedlock and an inability to sustain relationships. These all can be part of a generational stronghold passed down that you are doomed to repeat and pass on to your children unless you break it by the power of Christ's blood. Scientists and sociologists have been debating for decades whether this is the result of nature, our DNA, or nurture, our environment. And of course, it's both. The Bible doesn't really try to answer that question. It just says it's the mystery of God's, or the economy of God's kingdom. Here's the crazy, wonderful thing, is now science is now affirming what the Bible has been saying for centuries. There's a whole field called epigenetics, which just means on top of your genes. It says this, that we don't just pass on DNA, we pass on in our very genes propensities to certain behaviors. We pass on trauma. We pass on other negative and positive patterns. Crazy, huh? Because Eric goes on, when David murdered Uriah in order to marry his wife Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12, it says this, God said through Nathan the prophet, now therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife Uriah the Hittite as your own. So here you have David forgiven, but the consequence passed down through his family line, and the story in the Old Testament is just a mess from that moment on. His family is just a mess. Family tension, sibling rivalry, internal strife threatened his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Another person who writes on this is a counselor, author Nan Brown Self. That's her name. It says, generational sins are weaknesses or tendencies that are handed down to us through the generations from parents or members of our family. These sins can involve behavioral patterns and ways of thinking that keep us trapped in the past. So even though that's true, we can't blame, I have no choice but to do that sin. Doesn't work like that, because even though the driving forces are generational, God holds each of us accountable for our own choices. Okay? Generational sin can have many patterns, and it continues to multiply among the family members, and it can last for generations. Even epigenetics, they discovered that some of these things tend to be passed down for 3 or 4 generations. Go figure, right? Maybe God knows what he's talking about. Abraham's family is another example. Generational sin repeating itself. Genesis 12, Abraham lied to protect his own skin. Said, oh, she's not my wife because she's this gorgeous woman and he didn't want to get killed for her. So this lying spirit then gets passed down to this next to his son. So Genesis 26, you have Isaac doing the exact same thing. Lying about his wife, saying, oh, she's my sister because he didn't want to be killed and then take her. Son and father lying about their wives because of their own fear and doubt passed on. Then it continues. Genesis 27, Jacob becomes the ultimate deceiver. Deceives Isaac, steals the birthright, you know the story. So these family patterns from the past are played out in our present relationships, whether we're aware of their source or not. So wouldn't it be better to be aware of their source? Someone may think they're just acting as an individual, but every one of you, every one of us, are actually players in a larger family system that goes back for generations. You ever done the Ancestry.com or anything like that? It's good to do, because my sister has done that for years, and we have this whole family line all from both sides going all the way back. We go back to the Civil War, and no surprise, I'm half Irish, half English. The best combination, of course. Kelly's like all Norwegian and Finnish. And Finnish. Disappointed that she wasn't Irish. So this is all true. But again, the great news of Christianity is that your family of origin doesn't have to describe your present and future anymore. Our passage in Peter gives us the cure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're born again. You're born anew. The most significant language in the New Testament is becoming adopted into the family of God. It's a radical new beginning. We place our faith in Christ. We're spiritually reborn by the Holy Spirit into the family of Jesus. Now we have a new family line. We're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Under the old covenant, sin and shame and curses are passed down through the family line, really all the way back to Adam and Eve. Bloodline. However, once you become born again through the indwelling Holy Spirit, you're now part of a new bloodline in Christ. But Peter says in 17:19, you're ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your fathers by the precious blood of Jesus. Well, what does we mean by Christ's blood? When we say Christ's blood, we're speaking about the entire life and death and suffering and cross and resurrection and return of Christ. It represents everything about Christ. But we're also indeed speaking about the actual spilt blood of Jesus. The blood that was there that you could touch. We needed actual human blood to be spilt from a human without sin for our salvation. And in Hebrews it says Christ took that blood into the real Holy of Holies in heaven. So when we speak about Christ's blood, we are indeed speaking about his actual physical blood. And here's the crazy thing, that still flows through our Savior's veins. But we're also speaking about the ongoing effect of Christ's blood that secures our salvation and freedom and healing and adoption and eternal life. The word salvation is sozo, and it means healing and shalom in every area of life. Being an adopted child of God is not a matter of believing the right things. You guys know this. We're doing the right things. Every world religion, every system of philosophy that's worth its salt, or every system of ethics offer ways of living moral life. There are moral and successful Buddhists and Mormons and Muslims and Hindus and Jews, etc., right? So it can't be about doing good because they outdo Christians in doing good, a lot of them. What separates out Christianity is the revelation from God that even the best human philosophy and ethics and morality will never satisfy God's standards for what pleases God and gives us eternal life. The gospel, right? Christianity declares that no human, and here's why, this is the generational piece. Christianity declares that no human descendants of Adam and Eve will ever make it into God's kingdom in the new earth. You cannot trace your bloodline to Adam and Eve and make it into God's kingdom. Because that entire bloodline of humanity, from the first humans created, from the fall, all through every human offspring, every baby born in every age of history, and every people group, is corrupted and cursed and condemned. Bad news, right? Here's the good news. Again, God has made a way for you to become part of an entirely new family line, a family bloodline that does not trace its roots back to Adam and Eve, a family bloodline that has never been corrupted by human and angelic sin, never placed under the curse in the garden. How many want to become part of that family? It's in Christ who is called the second. When a person receives the grace of Father God to trust in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for their salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the inner sanctum of your soul and births in that moment a new spirit that never before existed. You were physically born. You didn't exist before. There's no reincarnation. You never existed before. You were born, boom, little baby Chris, just adorable as can be. You get born again, Christ births a new spirit in you that never before existed. That's what it means to be born again. You're a new creation in Christ. And that new spirit being born again puts you in a new royal family line. You become royalty and beloved sons and daughters of God. Royal blood flows through your veins. So you can let that new identity, you can let that new bloodline ennoble you to live a life worthy as being kings and queens in Christ. And you can defeat generational sins and curses passed down through our natural bloodlines by claiming the power of your new bloodline through the all-overcoming power of Christ's blood. Another author, Norma Deering, she's from Christian Healing Ministries in Florida, Jacksonville. That's where Kelly and I went to get some inner healing prayer earlier on. We're going back there in January. She says this, when you realize the extent of the ways in which you were affected by your ancestors, you begin to understand how these things can block the Holy Spirit from working and prevent you from experiencing physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional healing. And they have testimony after testimony after testimony that when people break those family lines, they experience physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, relational healing. It's easy to grasp. She goes on, the concept of having generational predisposition to cancer or blood pressure or heart disease or diabetes. We get that, right? It's the same thing. There are generational influences passed down in the same way. Family patterns of unusual or violent deaths. If you have a lot of unusual or violent deaths happening in your family line and it doesn't make any sense, it's probably a curse that needs to be broken. Occult activity. Do you know if your ancestors were involved in any kind of occult? Habitual patterns of sin. Again, life-controlling habits. All right. So that's the theology of generational sin. Here's a way you can actually apply it. That's what I've been doing in each of these series, right? One way to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your generational sin and shame and curses and destructive patterns is to do a genogram or a family tree. You may have seen these, right? So, Kelly and I have done this twice now, once in a personal retreat and then once when we went down to Christian Healing Ministries. The website for Christian Healing Ministries, just Bing, don't use Google, that's the Antichrist, Bing, Christian Healing Ministries in Florida, and they have prayers to pray and outlines and forms for this. So a family tree is just a chart of your family line, right? You list you, if you're married, your wife, all your siblings, all your kids if you have kids, all their wives and spouses if they are married, blah, 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 all the way down, and all the way back as you can go at least three or four generations. We were able to go back a couple generations, I think. So you do that. You got the idea? Got this chart? We use like big butcher paper. You start with your immediate family, try to go back 3 or 4 generations, and then you pray and you say, Holy Spirit, please reveal the generational sins and curses and destructive patterns that have been passed down through my family line. And then you start writing them. You start writing on top of the people. And here's the 7 areas you for sure want to do. This will be on that website. You include unusual or violent deaths or severe traumas, any evidence of occult or demonic activity, habitual patterns of sin. I can send these to you if you want. Just email me. Diseases or predispositions to illnesses, historical family connections such as massacres or plagues or slavery, non-Christian religious history, and 7, in utero wounding. So you have this chart. It's all covered with, we use different color markers and things. And then you engage in the spiritual warfare. Yeah. And you go through each of these, every single one. It takes you out. You need a full day at least. You go through and you confess for yourself or on behalf of your family members. You can do that. You can stand in place of them. Confess what needs to be confessed. You repent where it needs to be repented. And you forgive all that needs to be forgiven. And you renounce all that needs to be renounced. And then you plead the overcoming power of Christ's blood over it all. It's covered. It's broken. It's forgiven. You pray cutting prayers. I cut you off in the name of Jesus Christ. Sins of addiction would cut you off in the name of Jesus Christ. You got the idea? Your choice. Keep living out your family generational sin and curses or break them. Your choice. Another author, Pastor Buxton, writes on this stuff. Tells a story. Stories are always good, right? Because it was a story that reflected the downward spiral of a young man caught in the deadly quagmire of generational curse. His name was Robert. You could say that Robert was born to die young. Listen to this guy's story. Robert's parents were divorced when he was a little boy. Robert's father had worked for many years as a pimp, and he was notorious for prostituting and abusing women. When Robert was 8 years old, his father committed suicide, which is another thing you want in this genogram. When Robert was 14 years old, he started his very own street gang, which quickly became known for its vicious violence and horrendous crimes of hatred and brutality. At 16 years old, Robert was sentenced to 2 years in prison for committing 3 drive-by shootings and armed robbery. The day he left prison, his mother was brutally murdered by a rival street gang seeking revenge. One person's life. 3.5 months later, his stepfather was gunned down by the same street gang. In prison, Robert was introduced, this is what our prisons do, they don't reform, they instruct you in how to be more wicked. He was introduced to ruthless criminals, worse than himself, and his bent towards fighting and violence may just increase that. Okay? Robert. Someone filled with the Holy Spirit, someone that believes in the power of Jesus' name, someone that believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, decided to search out Robert's family tree, and they discovered all this. They discovered that it goes back generations and generations of destructive and violent behavior, and they started praying against it and breaking it. So the good news is that unlike many, maybe most, whose heart is just handed down like a ticking bomb of destructive behavior, and they just get stuck in that, Robert discovered a way to break free from the generational curses that hung over his life. Because at the age of 20, Robert had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. The age of 20. He surrendered his life to Jesus. At the age of 20, he heard the revolutionary news that you don't have to be who you are or were. the age of 20, he heard that there's a power somewhere that can cancel the sins of your past, that can conquer all of your struggles, or redeem them at least, and that can change your personality and character. He cut himself off from his genetic past. He hooked up with his new spiritual heritage, new spiritual identity, his new spiritual family tree. Lord, no one is beyond redemption. So here's the good news. You do not have to perpetuate the legacy of sin and shame and destructive patterns that pass down to you. And do not think that somehow you're sitting here and you don't have this stuff. Every single one of you, I don't care if you are 6 or you are 96, never too late. Your father's sin problems do not have to be your sin problem. Your mother's junk doesn't have to be your junk. Christ is ready and he's willing and he's able to break every destructive pattern passed down to you. The Bible says in Galatians 3, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And how did he do it? By becoming a curse for us. Because the scripture says, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. So that through Christ, the blessings of Abraham, not the sin of Adam and Eve, the blessings of Abraham can come to us through the promised Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, for Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. How do you break generational sin and curses and pattern? Through the all-conquering blood of Christ. Let me close with a few words from Charles Spurgeon, I think the greatest preacher ever, on the blood of Christ Jesus. Two things, he has more, I'm using two. Christ's blood reconciles us to God. This is the new family line. We who were once enemies are now God's children. Those who hated God with every particle of being are now forgiven by the blood of Christ. Number two, Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. There may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. Plunge into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and in an instant you are whiter than snow. Every spot and speck and stain of sin is gone now and forever. God, I claim that for myself right now. Claim that right now. Just claim it. He goes on, he who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon that cannot know defeat. The blood of Jesus, sin dies in its presence. Death ceases to be death. Heaven's gates are open. The blood of Jesus, we shall march on and to conquer so long as we trust in its power. How do you break generational sin and shame and destructive patterns passed down? You apply the blood of Jesus Christ in prayer, and then you live out of who you are according to your new blood in Christ as members, royal sons and daughters of God's family. Let's go to prayer. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to pray for my own family and my own self. I want you, please, to respond to God's word and start doing this right now. Just start breaking things right now. And let's just sit here and let's just start breaking these sins right now for just a minute or so, just so you get an idea and get the ball rolling, and then continue it on your own. Jesus, we just do that right now. We claim the blood of Jesus Christ over our families. We declare over our ancestors. We declare over our great-great-grandparents, our great-great-parents, our grandparents, our parents, our own spouses, or our friends, our sons and daughters, if we have them, their spouses, their sons and daughters. Right now, we would just call them up before the throne of grace, and we plead the almighty, all-overcoming, all-conquering blood of Jesus Christ over our families right now. We dismiss all generational sins and curses. We dismiss all demonic strongholds and assignments over our families. We cancel them in the name of Jesus Christ. We say to every demonic power over our families right now, go to Jesus Christ and be judged. You are bound in Christ's name. You may never return. And Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ. We claim the new family line that we are as royal sons and daughters. Lord, I pray for each person here today and anybody who hears this message in the future that right now the power of God would fall upon them and that they would have the confidence and the belief and the faith to do this in their families. We thank you. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for what you will do. Just give a word of thanks to God for what he has and will. Your families. We praise you, God.